this is Ralph Rio with ARC Advisory Group. I'd like to welcome you to this podcast on newer concepts applied to manufacturing. We will be talking with Srini Chakravarti, who is Vice President, Manufacturing Business Practice at Tata Consultancy Services. So Srini, thank you for participating in this podcast. I'm really looking forward to your concept of neural. But before we get into that, could you just tell us a little bit about your role at TCS?
Thank you. And thanks for this opportunity to speak to you today on this in this concept. And just as a very quick brief on myself, I head the manufacturing business practice at TCS. It's an interesting role. The practice works on an intersection. One is across industries, because that's what we see in the market today, the cross-industry ecosystems. The second is the evolution of value chains. And the third is the impact of emerging technologies in shaping operating models and business models of companies. So that's really what I focus on. And neural manufacturing, we believe, has a big role to play in the days to come on these three aspects of the business.
Wow. You know, certainly technology is really impacting businesses and in manufacturing in a big way. You've written about neural, which I find to be a very interesting concept. Could you just briefly explain the concept and how it applies to manufacturing?
If you actually look at the kind of history of this word neural, neural networks have been around for some time. More in the academic context, and now they are making their way into the world of artificial intelligence-led changes in the way we run our businesses. Now, if you take, for example, a typical global manufacturing corporation, it would be, you know, structured by a very long value chain and at the same time, tiered suppliers. And on the other side of that value chain would be intermediaries who would connect to the end customer who ultimately uses that product. When you look at this in total perspective and a global context, which means that some of these functions could actually be distributed across different countries or continents. Now, the time it takes for signals to travel from either the supplier side or from the customer side could sometimes be very, very long. And the current situation in which we all are in is also an example of where the response time has been very, very low. So what do companies do in such a situation? And when we were looking to find answers, we got inspired by the human biological neural side. And when we draw a parallel with this system, fundamentally, the ability to sense, perceive, and act is what typifies the biological neural system. And when you look at the manufacturing system, potentially, that's exactly what it needs today. Ability to sense changes in the market or on the supply side, and ability to respond to it, understanding what it means and respond to it rapidly to be able to ensure resilience for the organization, right? And there are a few other capabilities that the biological system also tells us. It tells us that, you know, some parts of the decision-making capability reside on the edges, which essentially means that certain decisions can actually be taken locally, and certain decisions need to be coordinated with a sense of purpose. A simple thing would be if you were trying to walk in the dark. And the human brain act and the central nervous system actually coordinates the various body functions which help you in that endeavor. And therefore, you know, this very unique ability to both work on distributed decision making and a central command structure is actually what inspired us to look at the concept of neural manufacturing in the current context, and certainly which it is a very defining context, and it will have a very large role to play in how organizations and the value chains will get shaped in the future. And when you look at that overall definition, therefore, we just looked at neural manufacturing as an intensely networked set of partners, which is aligned to one common purpose, where the value chains are very responsive, they're adaptive, and they're even personalized, and the intelligence is built onto the edge of the networks. So that's really what we meant by neural manufacturing.
Well, you know, it really hit home when you started talking about both in the beginning and the end, the vast interconnected of the supply chain, both from suppliers to a manufacturer, and then the nodes within a manufacturer, different plants, and then extending that out to the customers and distribution channels. There's just a huge number of connection points, nodes, and I'm starting to get your idea or your concept around applying neural to manufacturing. Very innovative. Just to extend this a little bit further, can you talk a little bit about how manufacturers benefit when using neural concepts?
That indeed was the angle with which we started looking at it. What exactly would manufacturers need in the coming days? When I say days, it's not days. It's essentially months, years, and potentially a decade as well. And what would be the purpose of technology in driving that transformation? See, today, away from the traditional linear value chain, and I typically refer to it as a left to right value chain, with the cost build up along that value chain, the ecosystem has changed. We are dealing with smarter products. They're connected products. And on top of that, the products are software embedded. There's a significant electronic component that's going into the products. Whether you take the emerging context of the automobile or you take the case of an aeroplane, the aeroplane actually has been much ahead of all of this, but it's just that it's coming to life now. And then you look at even smart farming on the other side. So when you look at all of this, the entire spectrum, all the way from farm equipment to automobiles to aeroplanes and to the machines that enable them, there is smartness that is embedded into all of them. And what is it that one could play with in order to help define the future? And that is the ability for these smart machines to become even smarter.
Wow. You know, I've been thinking about the supply chain in a linear fashion. And this idea that the components in the supply chain are intelligent, smart, and can add data to facilitate decision making is a whole new concept, an area, a new whole new dimension for me. And I find this really thought provoking. Could you just talk a little bit about the role neural is taking in shaping a manufacturer's ecosystem of partners?
That's a great question. The partner ecosystem, which is emerging very rapidly today, especially when you look at the front end of the business, which is how a product is essentially used by the end customer. So today, the customers don't really look at just buying a product. Everybody is looking at buying an asset as a service in many cases, in some cases, purely as a service. They're also looking at features, capabilities that they could switch on and switch off. And pay on the consumption models. They're looking at complementary capabilities. Let's say in a car, you want to have insurance. You may also want to do e-commerce through the car. Or you may have the many other use cases that we talk about in the connected ecosystem, especially, let's say, in the context of electric vehicle charging. Now, if you look at any of these require a lot of smart decision-making in the product and certain capabilities that are there with the customers on the customer's end. But at the same time, these services are not essentially provided by the traditional manufacturer, but they're provided by an ecosystem of partners. Now, when you look at that ecosystem of partners, they need to share a lot of data to be able to provide that true, awesome experience to the customer. And that really becomes the differentiator. For example, the context of where the customer is, what the customer is doing, the driving habits, the driving behavior, the other elements which are closer to the product design, there are so many data points that come up which become very relevant and could be used between the product knowledge that we are getting to the commercial elements of the data that is getting generated on how other services were consumed. Now, all of these need to interface with each other at a very, very rapid pace. And it cannot be a batch processing of the traditional value chain based model. It could be a much more agile, self-driven model where these net nodes connect with each other and help drive the end objective. So that's where Neural is also shaping the behavior of that partner ecosystem. To give another example, when you look at even the healthcare business, which is spoken about so much in today's times, it's not just about supplying a medicine. It is today about caring for your end customer, both from managing their health to managing the services that enable that health, and more proactively, even going two steps forward and ensuring that you actually maintain good health, which is through the trackers and all other fitness devices that we are having today. So when you look at joining the dots here, you actually end up creating a wellness ecosystem. And the connectedness is based on all these edge devices that are there, which appear to be belonging to different industries, but are seemingly converging in the context of how the customer uses them. So that's where we believe that the neural element would play a very, very critical part.
Could you go a little deeper in explaining how neural concepts help manufacturers become more resilient and adaptable?
Yes. In fact, that we believe is one of the key aspects of how neural could help manufacturers. In fact, we in TCS believe that the emerging enterprises really need to have three very distinctive capabilities. Number one, resilience. Number two, adaptability. And number three, purpose-driven. Let me start by saying, what's purpose-driven? The modern ecosystem today actually looks at a partner ecosystem that delivers a complete package of capabilities to the end customer. And that's when partners come together and deliver that capability. So that's what we mean by purpose-driven. When you look at adaptability, and that's what we are looking at, let's say, in today's environment, ability of the manufacturer to be able to shuffle the product mix, product capabilities, features, or even product lines to be able to deliver what could be produced or what could be absorbed by the market and the features that go along with it. So that's where we look at adaptability. And when we look at resilience, it's all about the value chain and its ability to spring back. And when you look at comparisons with the neural biological context, that's really what it does. It is very adaptive. It senses the environment and responds to it. It's resilient. Even with a little bit of a damage, it knows how to build back. And more important, it interacts with the entire ecosystem around you to deliver the purpose for which you are embarking on. And that's why we compare the neural concepts from the biological ecosystem to the manufacturing ecosystem.
Wow. You know, I'm just starting to absorb the impact of intelligent products and the capability for having products as a service as a result. And the as you say, the partners that are involved in making that a reality. To adopt Neural, how would a manufacturer start?
The neural capabilities that any organization would need to absorb are actually in some ways dependent, like any other decision that we take, which is around the business strategy, which means that the competitive path that the organization has chosen for itself would probably be the starting point here as well, which means that have you really chosen data-based differentiation as your operating or business model? Having said that, there are a number of these capabilities and a maturity assessment of the enterprise and its partner ecosystem both are very important, which means that Are your products smart enough, for example? Or are your value chain partners ready to take some of these calls? Or are your suppliers all set for demand variations? Are your service providers in the market ready with it? So there are a number of elements that need to be assessed. And the third aspect, I would say, is the risk propensity. How much risk the enterprise is going to take? How much is the, the risk profile of this organization? This is kind of elements that one needs to put together apart from the technology factors, the technology readiness to take on something as big as this. So because there's a lot of artificial intelligence on the edge, which basically means that you should be ready to be able to allow, delegate the ability to take decisions to these partners and keep monitoring it in a way that you continue to head in the direction, which is the direction of your competitive advantage. So this sustainable competitiveness that you have chosen will actually define how you pick on the neural capabilities. There are n number of capabilities that one could pick up. It is a question of what exactly are you looking at. So example, if you're going to lead through cost differentiation, which means that you're going to get your supply chain to be the most efficient one and the most responsive one, then potentially you're going to focus a lot more of that into building it into the way you sense the supplies, making sure that you are resilient in case there is a disruption or an impending disruption. You should be able to switch your supply base quickly enough or in anticipation and make sure that you are not held back from the market. Similarly, you could also be, for example, distributing your operations, right? In terms of what product to manufacture where so that you can manage your risk portfolio. So we call this as, equivalent of a design anywhere, build anywhere, sell anywhere, operate anywhere kind of a manufacturing model. On the other side, when you look at it, if you're going to go with a niche, which means that you want to go for a product differentiation strategy, then you're essentially looking at how do you connect with the end customers and enable that capability on demand. So a very good example could be, all these features that are today getting embedded into your products, let's say the car, and based on the preference of features, you just enable them for a period and then you charge them. Those are very different capabilities. So your choice of what you want to do with your capability will actually define the journey. But more importantly, it will come with a pack. It will come with a pack of technology changes that you need to make and capabilities in your skill sets that you need to build in. Both of these going together would ultimately help you deliver the results that you are aspiring for. So that's where we see how organizations could potentially prepare themselves for the neural world.
I'm starting to understand the full impact of neural on manufacturing. It's huge. To help me better understand it and the listeners better understand it, is there a case story that you could tell us about?
Yeah, sure. It would. There are a number of interesting case stories that are emerging. And let me give you an example of how this is playing out in the marketplace. So this is, let's take a full value chain and you have a product out there in the market. So I'm not naming the client here, but you have a product out there in the market, which is a premium product. People seek more and more advanced features. But as you know, right today, given the hyper-competitiveness in the marketplace, these features actually keep changing. So there are fad cycles that are built into these features as well. However, when you look at the very traditional model of the supply chain, as we are calling it, the suppliers are building up capacity based on a plan. And that plan assumes a certain set of features. And there's an investment being made by the suppliers on the basis of what we often refer to as the take rate on those features. Now, when you look at the rapidly changing demand side, the suppliers actually very often have no clue of What has changed on the front end? Now, it has two major impacts. Number one, they are left with sunk investments or capacity of producing components that actually would not make it to the end product market. On the other hand, the company, the organization, the OEM, as one would call it, would actually be starved of both supplies and could not meet the end market product. Now, when you try to synchronize this, which means that you're sensing the market in real time, and very often we hear about social listening and many other capabilities, but those end as marketing capabilities. But if you connect those, right, like your neurons, if you let them connect to your planning systems, if you let your planning systems become live to your supplier systems, then you are enabling the supplier actually to sense the change in pulse. So we call this as the cognitive and connected value chain. So when you look at these kinds of examples, these will be game changers, because they will not only make you very efficient, they will also ensure that you're responding to the market faster. And the typically in any market, you get to the market faster, you get a larger share and potentially a premium in that market before the next wave of features come in. So that's where we are seeing significant changes coming in. I'll give you a business operating model example as well. So we had this client who was having challenges in trying to meet and track the entire order patterns. There were order failures that used to happen because of the long value chain. It's a commodity product in general. And applying some of these neural capabilities, they were able to even sense what would be the likelihood of a particular order to go through or not go through, and what are the causal factors that are driving that behavior. And picking that signal up, they were able to address it and drive up the entire score on the perfect order. So these are examples where, you know, you could make a significant impact on your supply chain, whether on the cost side or on the demand side, and deliver significant results to the market.
Wow. This is really interesting and thought-provoking. Thank you very much, Srini, for this discussion about neural applied to manufacturing. We've been talking with Srini Chakravarti of TCS. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
This podcast was created by ARC Advisor Group. We advise industrial suppliers and manufacturers on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business operations and competitiveness. Our website is www.arcweb.com. Thank you for listening.